Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with our special guest this week, Mr. Tom Namy. Tom is from the Detroit area. He's a Chaldean Catholic, a man I've known for a good number of years as a businessman, but also, as we mentioned yesterday on the program, if you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I encourage you to go there, just kind of hear the beginning of Tom's story. He was a young guy raised in the streets, sort of angry and violent, and he ended up, even though he was a successful businessman, that rage and anger burned in him, and he ended up in prison, and he spent a good number of years in prison. He was describing that experience yesterday, so if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them. But today I want to talk about the amazing thing that happened to Tom while he was in prison and how he encountered Jesus. And, you know, Jesus loves the prisoners and he walks those places. And at the end of the program, Tom described yesterday that prison, state prison, federal prison, these places are just, it's survival one day at a time. And it's very intense and it's barely survivable for many people who are there. So I wanted to ask Tom to continue to pick up the story from where we left it off. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Tell us about how you met Jesus there. What happened?
Well, first of all, you know, I was sentenced 60 to 90 years in the beginning. And I remember, all my life I always went to church. I always believed in Jesus. I always believed in our Blessed Mother. I always prayed since I was like a little kid. I think maybe that's why God protected me through all the troubles. I was on the run for 2 years. So now when I turned myself in and I came from Iraq, I surrendered, I turned myself in. I started Jackson Prison. I started going to church. And for the first 10 years, I'm boiling with this anger. But meanwhile, I'm trying to educate myself. I'm not wasting my time. I'm ordering books. I'm going to college. I'm subscribing to Ann Arbor College and Arbor College. And I'm trying to educate myself and everywhere that I can. I figured no sense just wasting my life away. And 10 years go by. 10 years go by, and it's 19. I went in 1990. 1998, I get sent to this one prison. It's at Lapeer. And at Lapeer, they had all these charismatic guys, and I thought they were all a bunch of fruitcakes, you know, because, you know, they would sing loud, and they would pray, and they would talk about healing. They would talk about signs and wonders, miracles. And I thought they were a little bit fruitcakes, but I figured, you know what? They're here, and they support the church, and they're here every week. They bring the priest. They drag the priest there. They make sure we get a priest, and we have service every week, and it was great, and I loved it.
Now, could I ask a question, Tom? At this time, you were going to services, and you were sincere about going to services, but you were still filled with this rage and unforgiveness and this vindictive, revengeful spirit still had a hold of you, right?
You know, Peter, going to church is one thing.
Yeah.
And having a relationship with Jesus Christ is another. Anybody can go to church. The devil's in church. He's there. Front pew. Condemning everybody, looking down at people, want to watch. It's like a dress show. It's a competition. People go there. Oh, you know, I'm a better deacon than this guy. I'm a better priest than that guy. The devil gets in church. And I went there. I used to go dress up on Sunday, put on my suit with my wife, with my kids, and I put $100 in the basket. And I thought I was doing God a favor.
Yeah.
In reality, I didn't know Jesus. Until one day, this deacon Ed, I walk him out, and he says, "How's your walk with Jesus?" I said, "My walk with Jesus is great. There's only one thing I need to do." And boy, he caught it. He caught it in the air. He was like, "Come back here, come back here. Are you talking about anger? About revenge?"
You were dreaming about paying back the guys.
I used to
your enemies in the
street. I used to play it in my mind 100 times a day how I'm gonna stage this hold up with my boys. We're gonna walk in the store, kill at least 3-4 of them every day. I staged it in my mind. I played it over and over and over. I fueled the fire of anger, and he was like, you don't know what it's like to be Christ-like. I said, no, I don't. He said, Jesus forgave everybody. I said, yeah, I know that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. He said, you don't know what it means to be a good Christian, do you? I said, a good Christian who believes in Jesus. He said, no, a good Christian who is Jesus. You have to be Christ-like in every way. You have to love your enemies. You have to bless them. I said, are you crazy? He said, no, you're the crazy one. Come over here. This is how you're going to pray every day. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come between me and them, and I ask you to bless them. I said, are you kidding me?
The men said, you hated. The men you, yeah, yeah.
He said, you do that. I did that for almost a year and a half, every day. I said, Lord, take the anger away from me, and I ask you to bless them. How do I ask God to bless my enemy, the one who hurt me? I had everything going, 20 years of investment in that one store. I lost my wife, my kids, all because of that. But it was my decision. Nobody forced me to go blow up the store again and again and again and drive a truck, send a bomb, this and that. It was my decision. It wasn't their decision. They competed for business, whether they did dirty tactics or not. They competed for business. All I had to do was guard my business, do what is right. But I made that decision, and I blamed it on them. But then you're only by the power of the Holy Spirit, you become awakened to your errors of life and to your sins and to your mistakes. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He corrects us, and he brings us to alertness where we know where we fail. So anyway, 1998, I'm walking up by Drake. I don't know. There's a Jewish center there, and I'm walking up the hill, and I walk into this big house, and I see this Sacred Heart of Jesus, this picture there, and I admire it, and I go, Lord, you look really great in this picture. His eyes move. He says to me, Tom, listen to me. Your cousin Steve is sick, and he's got pain in his left side, and tell him to stop worrying. And he tells me three times, and I wake up.
What do you mean Jesus told you three times? Help us understand. Like, was it an internal thing you heard? You hear a voice of Jesus? Yeah, like, what happened?
We're talking, like, he's talking to me. I was scared to death. You know, I was shaking all over. I had the fear. I mean, here is Jesus talking to me. I'm nobody, you know. And it's like, listen, Tom, don't be afraid. Just listen. Tell Steve that he's got pain in his left side. I could hear him audibly. Or tell Steve he's got pain in his left side. Tell him to stop worrying. And tell him drink a little bit of red wine. A little bit, okay? Don't you go get a bottle and sip it up. A little bit of red wine, and his pain will be gone. And tell him stop worrying. So with 10 minutes to 4 when I woke up, and I was like, do I call Steve? Do I don't call Steve? You know, it was like, what if he's not sick? And Steve is going to think I'm going crazy. What if he is sick? I got to let him know. So I called Steve. Steve was sick. I described the house. The architect was just doing blueprints for the house. And I described the house.
So that was a dream you had?
I thought it was a dream.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I was always a dreamer, Peter. Yeah. God would always show me in dreams what was going to happen. It always happened. Mm-hmm. And Steve got healed. And then a week later, I see a husband and wife want a divorce. And the Lord told me to tell them that they still love each other. I held their hands in the dream. I could hear the Lord speaking to me, but they couldn't hear. They were busy yelling and screaming, and I grabbed their hand, and I prayed with them, and I told them to calm down. And the Lord told me, he said, these two, they love each other. They have external forces that are causing a lot of problem, but they really love each other. They need to look into their heart. So I called the guy up the next day, and he said, they're not going to believe you, but I'll give you a secret before they got married. So he gave me one secret. When I told the guy the secret, then he was quiet on the phone.
Because he knew that only they knew the secret. And
Nobody knew. Yeah. And I asked him, who's a priest in church? And he was like, Father Frank. I said, well, go see Father Frank. Get some counseling. Don't get a divorce. It'll be a big mistake. The Lord doesn't want you to get a divorce. The third dream I had a week later was this man. He left his wife. There was a young girl behind him, about 24 years old. He was an elderly man. He was about in his 60s. And I noticed that he drinks He's got this bottle in his hand, and he's getting drunk every night. It's Jim Beam. And he falls in that recliner, he falls asleep, and basically he gets dry clean because the girl takes all his money and living like a fool. And the God was angry with him. First he was like, you tell this man that I've had enough with him and I'm not going to give him any more chances. I've gave him enough chances. And then his voice would get sterner. You tell him I had enough with him. This is his last chance. If he doesn't repent, I'm not going to give him another opportunity. I was like, okay, Lord. And then again, he would get, every time he would speak to me, it would be in three. And I called the guy. I let him know. I think I told the guy like five times on the phone. He kept wanting to hear it over and over and over and over. And I told him, finally I told him, listen, brother. In the book of Ezekiel, it said, listen, prophet, if I send you to warn somebody, and if you don't warn him, his blood will be on his hand. His blood will be on your hand. But if you do warn him, his blood will be on his hand. I told him, your blood will be on your hand. I'm warning you to live a good, godly life and save your soul before it's too late. You die and go to hell. And you have a good day. God bless you. Hate to be the bad news bearer, but that's how it works, you know. That's the truth. I mean, God sends you on a mission. Sometimes it's not pleasant. You got to deliver the message. And I told him five times. You couldn't believe it. I know. It's mind-boggling. So anyway, then I started having dreams with Jesus. Now I'm telling him what books of the Bible I like to read. And I'm telling him I love to read Psalm 1, Psalm 4, Psalm 8, Psalm 10. I love to read Proverbs 28. But these are different nights. And it's always between 10 to 4, 10 to 5. I wake up at night and I go grab the Bible and I'm reading the Psalms. One of them, 4, is about drawing strength from God. One is about being blessed. We live a righteous life. 8 is about God making man, basically giving power, authority. Proverbs 28 is about seeking God, wisdom of God, where humility can seek beyond the eye can see. But at that point, I don't understand what the books mean. So I read them like a book, but they don't register. The funny thing is the cops come by. I grab the Bible. And I'm trying to, there's no light in the cell. So I go outside. We got doors on this level 2, level. Mm-hmm. We got doors. So I go outside trying to get a glimpse of light a little bit. And he's like, hey, what are you doing out here? And I'm reading the Bible. He goes, it's 10 minutes to 4. I go, well, the Lord told me to read it. Okay, go ahead and read it. So, you know, so I would read it. I couldn't understand it. This went on for a while. And then they said, we're going to have Life in the Spirit seminar for 7 weeks. And that was the beginning of a new journey.
Yeah. Now, Tom, thanks for sharing that. Boy, these shows go by so quickly. Friends, there's a great deal that I think the Lord wants to teach all of us through Tom's story. Just last Sunday, one of the readings at Mass was that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. In a very real way, the Lord very concretely began to shepherd Tom in his time in prison and to be able to speak to him and to awaken him and to lead him out of the prison that he was in, the chains that were binding him. And he's going to share with us the real decisive turning point tomorrow. I hope you can join in. Call your friends as well. Have them join in and listen until tomorrow. This is Tom Namian and Pete Herbeck. Let's walk together in Christ. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.